April is Earth Month, and if there's one thing I've learned, it's that quality is sustainability. Think about it. When you invest in well-made, durable products, you're not just buying something that lasts longer, but you're reducing the need for constant replacements. That's why I am happy to tell you about the Avocado Green Mattress. When it comes to mattresses, Avocado is the MVP. Top rated by Consumer Reports 8 years running. They use certified organic materials like latex, wool, and cotton. No nasty chemicals, just pure comfort that keeps you at the perfect temperature all night long. Here's the game-changing play. Right now, you can save up to 10% on these incredible mattresses at avocadomattress.com. Plus, they give you up to a full year to try it out, and they even have easy financing options with Affirm. That's how confident they are you will love it. Head to avocadomattress.com today and save up to 10% on certified organic mattresses. Dream of better.
This weekend only at Macy's, it's our lowest prices of spring. How low? Diamond rings, pendants, and earrings, only $399, originally $1,500. Ninja blenders, now $89.99. And $395 men's designer suits, only $99.99. So if you're wondering why you should shop Macy's lowest prices sale, well, the name pretty much says it all. It's our lowest prices for one weekend only. Starts tomorrow at Macy's. Savings off already reduced prices. Exclusions apply.
Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.
Give it up. Cryer, 6 seconds, 5 seconds, Sharp.
He walked. He can't touch it.
He can't. 1 second. And it's over. Florida is back on top of the college basketball world championship madness. It's a great day to be a Gator. They win the national title.
This is the Zabe Cast. From the mean streets of McLean, Virginia, to the Harvard of the West, UC Santa Barbara. You got 30 minutes for some honest conversation about sports, life, and more? Well, good. Buckle up and let's go.
Here we go.
And there it was, another Houston kick to the fellas. The best, most battle-tested, toughest, nastiest Houston team ever. And they had a 12-point lead midway through the second half. The game then turned into a back-and-forth war down the stretch. And it was junior Emmanuel Sharp, poor kid, the sharp-shooting kid from Israel, son of former Israeli pro basketball player Derek Sharp, and the son of his mother, Justine Ellison Sharp, who is in the University of Toronto Basketball Hall of Fame. He, by way of Florida, who was the Big 12 tourney MVP, is going to go down in infamy. Such is sports. Hello and welcome and happy Wednesday or / Tuesday. This is a late edition of the Zabecast delivered after last night's championship game. About noon on a vacation Tuesday for yours truly and the fam dam down here in Naples. I have a special Naples 101 with my boy Rezer, the car guy, who now lives down here in Naples, is loving it, but he helps explain Naples to me in a way that I was kind of asking questions about. But anyway, back to the game. Houston had the ball in the hands of easily one of their best guys. It was either him or Cryer that you would want taking the shot. And there was a split second, just a split second, where he rose up for what would be his one shining moment. But so too at that very moment did Walter Clayton Jr. rise up. A guy who had been held scoreless, until midway through the second half. The same guy who had scored 30 or more points the previous two games for the Gators, something that had not been done in tournament history, a 30-plus night in the Elite Eight and then in the Final Four. Clayton stayed locked in. Clayton stayed focused on what was at hand, which was winning the game by hook or by crook. He did not pout, he did not sulk, he did not disappear. That's the true sign of a champion. But on that very moment, Walter Clayton Jr. closed with a soaring fury, flying so high and so true into Sharp's intended launch window on a three-pointer that might have been so pure, we'll never know, that angels were ready to sing as the ball would rip through the nets for the game-winning three. Oh, we'll never know. My goodness. A lifetime of work and dreams and sweat. Everything coming to that very focused moment. And then that happens. My goodness. That, my friends, is sports. That is what it is all about. Both the glory and the pain and the agony. You don't get the sweet without the sorrow. And that's what always draws me, no matter how much bullshit is now unfortunately baked into our sports world. And there is a lot. And I chronicle it right here on the podcast. The essence of sports remains the same. The greatness that is. The price of glory is the willingness to fail and fail greatly in excruciating fashion in front of the entire world to see. That's the price. You want some of this glory? You want to be Walter Clayton Jr.? Okay. You have to accept you could be Emmanuel Sharp. We don't know. The gods have such a hand in all of this. Because narratives are now going to be written off a single play. A few seconds of chaotic time that could have broken any which way. I do think from a tactical standpoint, teams tend to fall into a trap. When they're in a situation such as Houston was, where a shot clock is off and they're down one score, either a one down one or down two or down three. And so you've got a good amount of time, meaning more than 10 seconds, but less than the shot clock. Teams waste too much time on the front end. They start too tentative. They come out and they go, okay, well, let's see here. All right, 18 seconds, 15 seconds, 12 seconds. Okay, we better get into something now. Okay, all right, set a screen. Move here. I think the first best shot you get is the best shot. And you should probably take it anyway, because if you miss, you have a chance for a foul and one more. Okay, they missed a free throw. We got a chance now. Or a long rebound or something else. But credit Florida. Florida just, they were savages on that play on defense. Not just Clayton at the end, but the blitzing of ball handlers on multiple occasions. Just bam, blitz, double teams, bam, blitz, double team. Florida was cooked. Or excuse me, Houston was cooked. Florida's defense was amazing. So Sharp gets to live with that glory for the rest of his life. Clayton gets to bask in it, and that's a forever thing. Here's the reporting from ESPN.com. On Monday night, as reporters enter the locker room, Cougars guard Milos Uzan escorted Sharp away from the media. Sharp wore a towel over his head as he walked away, and he could be heard wailing as Uzan attempted to console him. "That's me, bro," Sharp was overheard saying. He then screamed an expletive, accentuating the consonants. An intermittently flushing toilet occasionally cut through the awkward interviews in the locker room in the quiet. Houston's Joseph Tugler summed up the devastation simply, quote, "That broke everybody's heart." In terms of games, it wasn't pretty. That's why I tweeted the rarely used but still perfect minimalist tweet to "That was a good game," which is a Zabe hallmark. Don't let anyone steal it. I tweeted that was a close game. I can't call it a good game or even a great game. That was a close game. A close game with officiating that has left everyone scritching and scratching their heads. Four fouls called total in the first half. Four. 26, I think, in the second half. Don't quote me. 25, 26 fouls in the second half. Four, 25. What? Not only that, but there was five straight calls on Florida, plus a technical to start the second half. And then it swung the other way to 11-2 foul calls against Houston. I would like to rip the refs. They were a really good crew, according to my referee whisperer, Ronnie Thomas. By the way, this one guy, Ron Grooving, was on the crew. Groover, not Grooving. Let me get it straight. NCAA final officials. Ron Groover. I said, that's his real name? Look at that. Okay, so as I just Googled this. Fans blasted bad officiating in second half of Houston, Florida game. Officials in NCAA national championship game facing backlash. Athlon Sports. MSN, fans blasted bad officiating. USA Today, where are the officials for the final four? Referees for the final assignments in San Antonio. Let's see. I want to get the crew right, but yeah. Roger Ayers, Tony Padilla, and Courtney Green, the officials for the Florida-Auburn matchup. They did the one semi. Keith Kimble, James Breeding, and Doug Shows, that's his name, don't wear it out, Shows, officiate the other semi. And then Terry Oglesby, Doug Sermons, and Ron Groover, the officials for the title game. I said, when my boy Ronnie Thomas said Ron Groover is really good, I go, that's a porn name. That's not a referee. Ron Groover. Hi, Ron Groover. I'm a college referee. Nice to meet you. Did the Final Four. I don't know. On the one hand, it didn't seem like me personally, I want a game officiated consistently from start to finish. I'm also kind of old school in this regard. I firmly believe in just about any basketball game, one or two players from the two teams, you know, one player per team on average, ought to foul out in a five-foul college game. I know that is quite, I know some people disagree with me a lot about that. What are you saying? You want guys to foul out? I'm like, yeah, I would bet, and I don't have the time to research this, if you went back and researched box scores from an equivalent level of basketball in college, say take Big Ten basketball from 30 years ago, go through league games alone, count the number of disqualifications, which is technically the term for fouling out, average disqualifications per game in the early 80s to the 90s, had to have been higher than it is now. I believe it's a bit of a construct of television that they don't want guys leaving the game or being fouled out. It just used to be part of the game, though. It helped keep the game cleaner. The problem is, though, now these guys are so fucking athletic and they're so cat quick and they've got amazing hands that can dart in, swipe balls, and it looks like it should be a foul, and then you see it in slow motion and you go, wow, fucker got it clean. And they play above the rim like never before, and there is contact like never before, sorting out in real time who initiated the contact, who got the advantage if there was one from the contact. It's damn near impossible. But I generally would like a game that's consistently officiated. So in other words, if we're calling it loose, it's going to be loose pretty much the whole game. If we're calling it tight, then it's going to be the same or something in between. They changed dramatically from the first half to the second half. Also, in terms of consecutive calls in a row, in theory, it doesn't matter. A foul is a foul. sometimes one team gets into a more aggressive mindset. Maybe one team has a guy in there who's not moving his feet or just playing recklessly. You might merit 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 fouls in a row, like Florida got. Other people think there should never be that much of a run of whistles for one team. That there's so much contact on so many plays, it's just not plausible that you would go 5-1 way and then swing the other way and go 11-2 against Houston after that. Anyway, it was an all-time dud ending to the game. You really can't make a one shining moment of a guy who goes up for a three and then has to drop the ball. By the way, there are people on Twitter saying, I don't know why that's a travel. I don't think that was a travel. It's specifically, legitimately, and right there in black and white, where it says if player A1 launches off his feet after receiving a pass and then puts the ball down to dribble, he cannot be the first one to touch the ball. Obviously, jumping up, even straight up and coming down, is a travel. And you don't get to start your dribble if you haven't started it yet by jumping in the air and then bouncing it onto the ground. That's the rule. It's in there. It's black and white. Raftery, as you heard on the highlight, knew it right away. He said, oh, I can't touch it. But it was a dud ending that you really can't make much of a shining moment out of, even though they did put it in as the final highlight in one shining moment. More on that in a second. And it was a unsatisfying ending. I was thinking about some of the other dud endings to the Final Four in college basketball history. 2003, Hakeem Warrick blocked Michael Lee in the corner for Kansas when they were down three against Syracuse to secure the bag and secure the ring. It was a great play by Warrick, no question, but the fact that he blocked it with under a second to go, and you're just sitting there going, oh, yeah, we're not going to get the magic of, he shoots, he scores, oh my God, dang. It's like, blocked. Okay, and what would you like done with this last 0.9 seconds left, Kansas? Would you like to just wrap that up and send it home with you in a doggy bag? Oh, you don't, okay, never mind. 1999, St. Petersburg, Duke, UConn final. Trajan Langdon dribbling off his leg. Woof. Here's the write-up from ESPN back then. Trajan Langdon slumped in his seat, forearms on top of forearms. Eyes empty and lifeless, lost somewhere in thought and in regret. This is always the hardest part after games. This hurtful to sit on a podium and tell the world just exactly how your world crumbled. Yes, that is cruel. Hey, you fucked it up. How did you fuck it up? Yeah, what happened? Wow, that's a fuck up there. For Langdon, the fifth-year Duke senior who only wanted to win a national championship, it was wrong, the ending. Oh, God, it was supposed to be different. In his dreams, ever since he has been on Chalky Tobacco Road in Durham, North Carolina, he makes the shot to win the national championship. But on this night, when he scored 25 points and made for Duke's only life beacon in this terrible storm, he never even got a shot off. So what was Langdon trying to do, writes ESPN, in the final seconds of the national championship game with the game in his hands? Coach Mike Krzyzewski interjected, let me answer that. Absolutely, positively, I want Trajan Langdon to take that last shot. I will win or lose with Trajan Langdon. I will walk down any road with Trajan Langdon. I'm proud of Trajan Langdon. Well, guess what, Kay? You fucked up. Because Langdon, everybody knew, was a brilliant shooter, but a marginal self-shot-making player. Is that even a word? He was not great at getting his own shot. He was good catch and shoot, maybe one or two dribbles and shoot. He was that type of a guy. Not a pure spot-up shooter, but not a guy with handle or wiggle or toughness to go in and get his own shot. That guy was Corey Maggette. Corey Maggette went on to be a lottery pick for the Clippers. Corey Maggette was a part of his one-and-done year at Duke that year. I remember screaming, give it to Maggette. Give it to Spaghetti Maggette. But he was a freshman. and I'm sure Kay knew he was gone, and he had a fifth-year senior, and he's like, I will trust Trajan Langdon. Well, dribbled off his leg. There you go. Dud ending. Not as bad as the ultimate dud ending, which, of course, was the 82 championship game. Freddie Brown, bless his heart, passing the ball to a wide-open James Worthy for North Carolina. Georgetown had made their first Final Four under Coach Thompson. Patrick Ewing was the face of college basketball, along with a young Mike Jordan. Oh, Mike Jordan. And with a two-point deficit, a chance to tie the game, Freddie Brown comes down, point guard for Georgetown, begins to almost pass the ball to the wing when James Worthy shoots the gap and overshoots the gap to get into a position that he should have never been in. In fact, instead of me explaining it, I dug up a great old clip of an ESPN product that is now defunct, but it lives on YouTube, called Five Reasons You Can't Blame. Fascinating little half-hour show they pre-produced in batches where they would take a single moment in sports, historic moment that everyone remembers, and they would push against the basic narrative of you wish it, you want it, you blew it. You can't blame. They did a you can't blame on that play, and it's pretty interesting. So here's the audio of it. You can look it up on YouTube. This was hosted by, not Reese Davis, but Brian Kenny was the host of You Can't Blame, Freddie Brown edition.
They knew they had to keep the ball out of Sleepy's hands, or keep the ball out of Patrick's hands.
Georgetown with one timeout. Fred Brown looking.
Fred Brown comes down. When he looks over, James Worthy shoots the gap. Now the defense is out of balance.
That's the great Ralph Wiley.
Now
may he rest
five
in peace.
On four because Worthy's out of position.
He's so badly out of position on defense for this play that Brown actually thinks he's an offensive player. The place where Worthy is standing on the court, only an offensive player could be standing there.
He turned to wait to look again to see if the wing was open. He just turned and just threw the ball without really even looking.
Good stuff there. By the way, when you watch those old clips, it sticks out right away just how basic and rudimentary the athleticism was compared to today. Forget whether or not the game is better today. I'm just saying these were the best basketball players in college of the day. Two Titans clashing, Georgetown, North Carolina. I think there was almost 10 different NBA pros on the two rosters that night. But look at how they move. Look at how primitive the software is of their basketball skill set. Very few people even had a crossover dribble back then. And I'm not saying they weren't great players or I didn't enjoy watching them. I did. But my God, the state of the art has advanced quite a bit. One shining moment. It was good. I stayed up to watch it because, of course, I'm on vacation. Badgers play-by-play man Matt LaPay had a funny tweet. He said his wife asks him, so is this when they play One Shining Day? No. One shining moment, sweetheart. One shining moment. LaPay said she picked Florida to win it all just because she had a feeling. He's like, I'm out. One shining day. I still prefer the original Barrett version. Jason Barrett who did One Shining Moment? They of course use the Luther Vandross version now, which is it doesn't hit the same for me, you know? But that's whatever. David Barrett, not Jason Barrett. David Barrett wrote the original. They since replaced him, bought out the rights, and now it is the Luther Vandross edition. Couple other things. Florida is the only school that has 3-3. That'll be 3 football championships and 3 basketball championships. Why is it that Florida kind of gets slept on to a certain degree? In the overall college sports landscape? Is it because Tallahassee is not, well, I'm sorry, Gainesville, is because Gainesville is not as big of a metro as some other cities? Is it because of maybe there's not enough big-time Florida Gator alums that are in the media that are constantly repping the Gators? And also when it comes to coaches, man, what an escape for Todd Golden. Middle of the season, he was probably thinking, my career is ruined. I'm going to get fired. This is a nightmare. He survives the investigation that he was sliding into co-ed's DMs on social media and being a creep. Not totally exonerated, but he survived any disciplinary action. And he goes on to cut down the damn nets. And where'd they get this guy? Well, they got him through the burgeoning young rank and file of coaches that you and I don't even know about. Because 2 years earlier, they had a coach named Mike White at Florida. I've already forgotten his name. And he fled to take the Georgia job. And Mike Bianchi for the Orlando Sentinel wrote, "Getting dogged. Basketball coach Mike White gave the toxic, unrealistic Gator fans the ultimate middle finger when he bolted Florida to take the Georgia job." That's how this works out a lot of times. The last guy you had who thought was, this is the guy, we can't let him go, they get somebody else, and he does just as well. Coming up, special guest on today's Zabecast, my man Rezer, who took me out golfing at this wonderful golf course in Naples, and he is going to give us the Naples 101, a greenside post-round chat. Maybe you'll say, that was great. I really like that format. I just had wireless mics on and I set up my iPhone. Maybe you'll say that sucked. It didn't meet your broadcast quality standards, and please don't ever do it again. It's 18 minutes of your life. You might enjoy it. That's next. You're listening to the Zabecast. You know, one of the things I love most about Indeed is that it makes hiring so fast. If you are overwhelmed by the hiring process, or you've been struggling to get your job post seen on other sites, listen up. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. Your post jumps right to the top of the page for relevant candidates, so you reach exactly who you want faster. And it makes a huge difference, according to Indeed data. Sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. Want to know how fast Indeed really is? In the minute I've been talking to you, 23 hires were made on Indeed, according to Indeed data worldwide. There's no need to wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this podcast will get $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the podcast by saying you heard about it right here on this pod. Indeed.com/Charlie Zulu Alpha Bravo Echo. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring, Indeed, is all you need. The drive to basketball championships, the grind of raising the cup in hockey. From the court to the ice, today's elite athletes know success depends on having the right team behind them. Same goes for protecting your family's financial future. SelectQuote's licensed agents are your all-star team for finding customized, affordable life insurance that scores big on coverage and savings. SelectQuote has nearly 40 years of experience helping 2 million customers find over $700 billion in coverage. Other brokers offer one-size-fits-all policies that might cost more and cover less. SelectQuote's agents work for you to tailor the right policy in just 15 minutes. Worried about health conditions? SelectQuote partners with carriers covering high blood pressure, diabetes, and even heart disease. No major health issues, get same-day coverage with no medical exam. Get the right life insurance for you for less at SelectQuote.com/Zabe. That's SelectQuote.com/Zabe today to get started. SelectQuote.com/Charlie Zulu Alpha Bravo Echo. SelectQuote, they shop. You save. I know exactly how it feels to look in the mirror and notice, hey, my hairline is playing defense right now and it's not winning.
The forehead keeps on advancing. But who has time to deal with hours and hours of doctor's appointments to try to win the battle? That's where Hims comes in. They've changed the game. Hims provides convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments at work, all from the comfort of your couch. No need to take time off of work. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. The best part is the process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Just answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. And here's another win. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/zabe. That's hims.com/zabe for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/zabe. Prescription products require an online consultation with healthcare providers who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information. Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.
Okay. All right, post-round debrief. Did you add up our horrible score, my horrible score?
No,
you were okay. You had some shots out there.
What'd you get on the last one there?
I had a 6.
Okay.
By the way, this is a big point of contention, this thing right here, this little fireball. Because you know what? You're not supposed to bring outside beverages. But was there a cart girl today?
There was not.
Not at all. So, I mean, look, I will buy from the course when possible. And if they have my preferred little booster shots like Captain Morgan or Red Bull, or Captain Morgan or Fireball or Southern Comfort, but many times they don't. So fuck them. That's what I say.
Steve,
all right.
An 87 for you.
87. Oh, how was it even 87?
It was a 90 for Nasty. Me. Fell apart bad there on the back. The front wasn't bad for us. You shot better on the back. You shot a 43 on the back.
I had some moments on the back.
You did.
Struggled, fought the damn swing all.
You missed a couple birdie putts on those par
threes. Yeah. Let's not bring that up.
It's the best of us, Steve. It's the best of us.
Rezzer, so you used to live in you're from Waukesha. Your dad's from Waukesha.
Correct.
But you used to live in Jacksonville, and then you just moved down here.
I did. Me and my wife made the decision that we were done with winter. Anymore.
Right, but why'd you move from Jacksonville to here?
You know, the big thing, you know, you don't want to pick too much. I mean, the beach in Jacksonville where we lived was beautiful.
Yeah.
I mean, we lived right there on the water. It was great. But it's very metropolitan in the regards of the crime and...
Getting a little bit sketchy.
It was getting a little sketchy. I mean, and the one thing when everyone's like, well, how bad could it have been? Listen, the one thing that was really that set us off, my wife walks the dog. And someone got shot and killed a block away from our house.
Yeah.
That was enough to say it's time to go.
Yeah. I would say that 90% of all real estate is escaping crime, you know, if you got the means to do it. Now, we're down here in Southwest Florida, so better known as Naples. But I've discovered now Naples is a broad concept because we're staying at a resort in downtown Naples.
Correct.
Which is lovely and amazing and $25 million mansions that are masquerading as Hampton Inns.
Correct.
With the most amazing landscaping you've ever fucking seen.
They are catering to, you want to feel very special, they are catering to it.
But Reza, there's house after house after house. It makes you really come to grips with the amount of wealth
that is out there. And it's as crazy. I said, poolside at this beautiful resort there, which we got a good rate for a two-bedroom condo. It was like $400 a night, which is a lot, but you got a family, you know.
And it's a steal there because that hotel is very sought after when people
normally double. Yeah. So anyway, I'm sitting there at the pool and I'm watching one PJ after another.
Yep.
Blast off. And they're there. They are these tiny little shiny white and shiny silver jet planes.
Yes.
That I know cost millions.
Yep.
And millions of dollars just to own, much less operate.
Well, and here's the crazy part. They're getting off their multi-million dollar PJ and going to their multi-million dollar home that you're seeing down there. That's their vacation home. That's
it's
not
a
even their
1 week, 2 week, maybe a month, maybe snowbird season home.
Right.
But I'm not mad about it.
I'm not either.
Some people get mad about it. Like, what are they supposed to do with all that wealth? They're spending it. The landscaping business down here must be bonkers.
It's got to be making people very wealthy.
Well, and just giving guys jobs.
And going
giving people that would otherwise not have a job say, yeah, I'll trim these hedges.
And even when you go into the mid-level neighborhoods in this area in Naples, they're all the same. They all look like that because all the HOAs pay and they don't want you doing your own gardening.
Oh, really?
So they want everything very uniform in these neighborhoods and they say, it's in your HOA, don't touch it, we got it.
Are you serious?
So all these neighborhoods are pristine, even the mid-level ones away from the $20, $30 million.
Because they're like, yeah, you don't know what you're doing.
Correct.
Yeah, well, the landscaping is amazing. And my parents lived in a neighborhood I grew up in and some asshole lawyer bought the house across the street, literally facing my parents. This was worth $1 million. It was a $65,000 home back in 1968 when my parents moved in. But it's now worth $1 million. And this asshole lawyer, who's divorced, no kids, bought the house. Way too big of a house. And let the outside go to shit.
Yeah.
And when my parents went to sell their house, one buyer got scared off because the neighbor across the street had let his go to the point where it looked like the Addams Family.
Well, and that's why they down here, they just tell you don't worry about it because they don't want that happening.
And that could easily happen because the amount of landscaping, as I'm looking at it, just trimming the hedges alone.
It's crazy.
Special equipment and shears and ladders and a team of guys to sweep up all the clippings.
We were actually talking to the head of our HOA and they were trying to get an explanation when we moved here of like what we're paying for to have it done. And they were explaining to us that we get, you know, the neighborhoods get these incredible deals. And if I was to have them do what they do at my house alone, it would cost me somewhere between $12,000 to $15,000 a year.
Really?
Which I don't even pay that in HOA. So that's the deal. But that's what, like, that's how intricate these neighborhoods get. With they want it looking nice. Yeah. All the time.
Yeah. So this is my first trip to Southwest Florida. Southwest Florida.
What do you think so far?
I dig it. I don't know why I've been sleeping on it for so long. Airport's nice and small. They are expanding it.
Yep.
And even though they've
got... Which is out of Fort Myers, not Naples.
Right. Exactly. I guess I always thought of like Fort Myers, like, ooh, Fort Myers. Like, it doesn't have a cachet to it, you
know?
The
funny part is the people who live here in Naples think, ew, Fort Myers, too. But the truth is, downtown Fort Myers is a ton of fun, especially if you're on the younger side. There's a lot of restaurants, a lot of nightlife, a lot of entertainment. So when you want to get away from the quietness, because Naples is very quiet, that's the draw to it. It's very family-oriented. There is a lot of money here, there's no doubt about it. But you see families. You don't see brokers and big New York financiers. This is where they bring their families. They want to golf. They want to sit by the beach.
Oh, I bet there's some brokers and financiers.
Oh, 100%. But it's not the party mecca like an hour and a half in Miami is.
Right. So downtown Naples is like, you said it was modeled after actual Naples in Italy?
That was the general idea originally, yes.
Tons of restaurants, tons of high-end stores. There was a Hinckley Yachts store.
Yeah.
So in other words, a storefront. Hinckley Yachts. Oh, you're thinking about buying a yacht?
Did you see what was next to it?
No.
The private jet store where you can go order your private jet. Oh yeah.
I should walk in. I should bring, next time I'm down here, I'll bring a costume.
Yeah.
Like a cravat and, you know, a fancy white suit. Hello. I'd like to buy a jet.
Yeah.
A G4. Here. Just a G4.
Yeah.
$25 million. Oh, how about a G5 then?
Ew.
G5. Wait, which one's better or cheaper?
Ew. Ew.
Yeah, ew, exactly. Ew.
If it doesn't say 7, I don't want it.
All right, so you and I talk cars a ton.
Yeah,
and I don't want to talk cars in terms of manufacturing. I want to talk a different slice of cars. And you may or may not know much about this, but me knowing you, I know you know about this because you know about lots of stuff.
We'll see.
We'll see.
We'll see.
Okay. Turo.
Yes.
Unbelievable. Once again, my family and I rented a Turo, and it was so easy, so relatively cheap. And I don't understand how they're making it work. I've got a BMW X1 mini SUV, just perfect for the trip. It was like $80 a day, maybe, all in.
Yeah.
I did everything via the app. I booked it the morning of the trip in DC at the airport.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, it'll be at the parking garage, explicit instructions sent via the app.
Yep.
I took pictures. I sent them my license. I've got a rating on Turo because I've rented them before. Mm-hmm. So now I'm building up that kind of, credibility with them. And I made sure to check the star rating on this company that was doing this, because this was not an individual. It's called like Surfside Turo.
Okay. Yeah.
So there's people that are just doing this. And I tell people that don't know about Turo, I'm like, it's like Airbnb for cars, for rental cars.
It's Uber, except you're driving.
You drive.
Yeah.
That's a better way of putting
it. Yeah.
It's phenomenal. Am I missing the horror stories that might come?
So it's like anything else. And again, I mean, we hear horror stories because we're, just as a society, we love looking for them and we want to read about everyone else's misery all the time. Right. But yes, there are, it's just like anything else. I mean, I have a friend personally who rented for his birthday one year an i8, a BMW.
Right.
Well, his significant other did for him for the night.
Which is nothing. Turo will rent some pretty exotic cars for a price.
And the funny part is
rental car Hertz won't do that.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, some of them do in the bigger cities. Yeah. They have more highline exotic stuff. But Turo, you can find that stuff.
Yeah.
But here's the funny part. So he has it dropped. The guy drops it off at my buddy's house. And we actually never end up leaving the house that night at his house. They throw a big party. We never leave. He never drives the thing. They come to pick it up the next day. And then like 3 or 4 days later, he gets a bill for $2,200 of damage to the car. It's something with the braking system and all these other things. And he's like, I didn't even drive the car. The miles were the same when you picked it up.
Oh, boy.
And it locked him in a battle with this owner and Turo for like 6 months.
Right.
And he ended up not paying the full $2,200, but he had to pay something.
Really?
He still was on the hook. So it's like those things happen because when you're...
Is that a high-end car?
Yeah. I mean, okay. I would say it is.
Yeah, the
i8. Yeah. And again, it's a specialty car. And so, you know, I don't know, but if it has like the regenerative braking because it's electric and everything else, who knows what went wrong? I don't know.
But there's other services like Turo.
So I've heard.
What else is there?
So the big thing is when you're getting rentals from the general public like that, it's not a company necessarily that's insured for all these things and they handle it because it's every day. It's somebody's private car. So when you have somebody's private car, they're a lot more, they're bigger.
We're good. Thanks. Thank you so much.
We're bigger sticklers about it, right? And so they go through it and look at it and say, well, you did this, so fix it. Where if you rented from a Hertz would say, well, it's not that big a deal. It's a rental car. We take care of it.
They do tend to write it off, I'm sure, a bit more. Yeah. But I love the fact that standing in line at a rental car counter is the fucking worst.
Well, that's why the rental companies have done all these premier programs now, where once you have the standing, you literally walk up past the line, you flash your standing, and they hand you keys and you're out.
Right. They're getting better at it, but they're still not perfect. It seems like they're fighting a game of catching up.
100%.
Like, I don't think I'll ever rent another car from a car rental company again, because the experience on Turo is just way too seamless.
And everything's great until you have a bad experience, right?
I guess you're right.
And it's like me. I was a big advocate of Airbnb for a long, long time. Me and my wife had one horrible experience, and now we will never,
that's the funny thing.
Ever.
So we never have done Airbnb.
Back to the Ritz for me. I don't care how much it costs. I ain't dealing with it.
Right. Well, that's the thing. Like, for me, I've never done an Airbnb, but people have raved about it, and you get these outrageously big places for really cheap. But then, like you said, all it takes is one bad experience.
And then you're out. You just won't do it. And that's the problem. So it's great that there's
How bad was your experience?
the house, well, we walked into a dirty house with dirty towels and being told that we needed to do the laundry of the previous guest.
Oh, Jesus.
So right there, my wife
put you in a bad mood. I'm out. Fuck that.
And then after that, it was the beds were dirty. The bathroom was dirty. And then after the whole thing was said and done, we didn't do one thing. Like, I'm just the example. Maybe we didn't take the trash out or something because we were doing all their other chores.
And they ding you.
They dinged us for $350. And you can't fight it because it's their rules.
That's right.
So I paid the bill and said, never again. I'm not doing it.
Yeah, generally I'm all about hotels, but my Turo experience, on glass.
Ride that wave.
Has been fucking great.
Yeah.
So the golf down here, I mean, it was hot today. It's April 7th, 8th, 5, 6, 7.
That happens down
Monday,
here.
April, yeah.
You lose track.
That happens down here. April 7th. It was like 90 degrees. It was kind of moist. It was warm, but I hear it gets hotter than this.
Oh, yeah. And it's unseasonably warm right now this time of year. It's a little warmer than usual, but we're in for a very hot summer. Typically, in when we hit June, July, August, I mean, to have 105, 110, even hit up to 115 degree days, it's very...
115.
Yeah. And that won't be every day, but it'll happen. And with the humidity, it feels like death.
Right. And the screened-in pools, which we saw on the course today, one house after another, is standard operating procedure for down here.
Correct.
If you have a house that doesn't have a pool, God help you. You better have great air conditioning.
We still can't figure out why you wouldn't, but okay.
Exactly.
Teach their own.
Oh, my God. And the Gators down here, no joke.
Yeah.
You were telling me stories about like 8, 10, 12-footers being dragged out because
you
don't even know they're down there.
Correct.
But then they come out to go for Fido. Or go for Rover, and then you're in trouble.
I mean, you'll hear that every year, the story about the people who's, it's not a big deal. The dog is fine. I assure you, the dog's not fine. These are history's greatest killers. They have survived past the dinosaurs, and they are here to do one thing, eat.
Eat.
Well, and something else, and reproduce.
Exactly.
And they are the world's greatest hunters. I mean.
I saw a video online of a guy that wrestled his dog out of a gator's mouth.
Yeah, I've seen
it. Unbelievable. Yep. Dived in there. I guess that's the love of your pet, right? I would hope that I would have that in me.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I would.
Well, the thing is, you know, especially the residents who grew up here, you know, they'll even tell you when they get older, they're like, our parents used to let us swim in these places all the time. And we did. And now we look back and we're like, oh, my God. Like, we can't believe we grew up swimming in these, like, areas. But
they would swim in these water canals and things.
Well, not the canals necessarily, but there's areas you can go swimming and stuff like that. But there's gators in there. Like, there's not a body of water that doesn't have a gator in it.
Because the stats are what? There's a 1.5 million gators in the state of Florida.
They say 1.2 and 6,800 bodies of water.
So
in
you
Florida.
Do the math on that. Divide 1.2 by 6,800.
And the more north you go in Florida, the less gators there are. So they're very concentrated the more south you get.
Right.
And again, the gators are not who you typically need to, as long as they haven't been fed by people, because they become conditioned that they believe food is with people.
Yeah.
The gator is, alligators are very scared of us, but it's every once in a while there are crocodiles down here and they're the aggressive ones.
Yeah.
They're the ones that will attack. They do not like us.
So yesterday I had a funny thing happen on the golf course. I got to play a very nice private club called Hideout, which is down closer to where we're staying in Naples. It's inland a bit. It's a private club that was founded in part by Larry Bird, Larry Legend. And it's just golf only. No pool, no tennis, no pickleball, no weddings, no banquets. And it's not all men, but it's just golf.
Right.
So luckily I got hooked up through a friend, my man, Counselor Dan Purcell up there in upstate New York, Rochester. Had a good friend, Dana, who's a member down at the club. And they have a Saturday morning shootout or Sunday morning shootout. And he said, go ahead and you can play with him, have a great time. We did. It's a beautiful course. It's designed for speed. 3.5 hours, they say, is their target pace of play. Fairways are wide. The greens are interesting and big, and they've got a lot of places to put the pins. So I'm sure if you play the course a lot, you're never bored by it. But he was telling me about the game. He goes, it's $20 skins buy-in, and then there's a few extra bonus things that may come up or probably won't come up. I said, what are they? He goes, well, if you hole out for eagle from over 50 yards, you got to pay $50. And I was like.
So, of course, my phone ran out of battery right as I was getting to the crux of the story. But let me finish it off. So as I was ignoring all the bonus bets I could be liable for, unlikely but could be, I just glossed over the hole-in-one portion, which is if anyone gets a hole-in-one, it's $100 per man. Boom. Invoice. You owe. Pay now. Net terms, now. Not net 30, not net, say, net now. Well, sure enough, I come into the clubhouse. We were one of the last groups of this wonderful Sunday morning excursion. And I see that there is a woman who is part of the men's group, really good player, had qualified. This gal, 50 years old, she had qualified for any number of USGA women's events, so she's a stick. She had a hole in one. And they come up to me and they go, hey, nice to meet you, Steve. Thanks for coming out to play. By the way, you owe MJ over there, which is what they called her. You owe MJ $100. I'm like, what? And my first instinct was, oh God, the cheap on me is, ouch. This woman I just met right now, I'm going to leave and never see again in my life. I owe $100. But then I'm like, whoa, cheapskate. You just played a round of golf for free as a guest, as America's guest, on a beautiful private club for which the guest fees surely would have exceeded $100. So maybe shut your yap and pays that woman her money, which I happily did because I always like to keep my karma shiny. And I have had a few holes in one in my life. Oh, a few, how many? Just three. But yeah, she's had 12. This is her 12th one. How funny is that? And then we played with a guy out at Panther Run, Rezzer and I, two Chowds, Chowd 1 and Chowd 2, Dirty Harry and Mean Gene, I called him, Harry and Gene. Harry, to me, looked like a real decent doppelganger, skinnier, older knockoff. Well, maybe not older, but skinnier knockoff of Sam Elliott. Big old Sam Elliott mustache, Florida man skin, bronzed through the years. He's worked construction over the years. He's on disability now, but still does some painting and whatnot. Dirty Harry was great. He seemed to like us just fine as we were paired up with him. Gene, I don't know. By the third hole, Rezzer says, I think Gene is sick of our shit. I go, what shit? We're out here having fun. It's golf. Life is good. I'm on vacation. He's like, I don't know, man. He just doesn't seem to be about it. And I go, you know what? Who knows? Somehow it came up later in the round that someone had a torn retina. Dirty Harry had a torn retina. He's like, oh, I'm doing pretty good after this torn retina. I go, oh, wow. Okay. How is that? And then his buddy Gene, who snowbirds from Boston down there with him in the winter, says, yeah, I just had a separated retina or slightly torn retina. I had to get surgery 2 weeks ago while I was down here because they didn't want me to fly home to get it done. Had to spend a week on my stomach. Yeah, they make you spend a week face down pretty much the entire time. You got to sip, got to somehow eat face down. Woof. So I said, look, I told my boy Rezzer, I go easy on Gene. Guy just had his eyeball rip apart and he had to lay down for a week. He may not be the most chatty guy, but that's the beauty of playing golf with people you don't know, is that you get to meet people you don't know, and you get to see how they are when it comes to the game of golf. What do they enjoy doing? How are they? Everything else. Last add on this is the women's final four obviously had lower ratings than last year when Caitlin Clark had gone back to the final four after the year before and was trying to trying to finish the deal that she could not finish against Angel Reese and ran into a far superior USC a South Carolina team in the championship game, and it drew massive ratings. It outdrew the men. Last year's number was 18.9 million. This year plummeted by more than half to 8.5 million. The game was a dud. Dawn Staley and her team got their doors blown off by Paige Beckers and UConn. And people immediately started going, oh, wait a minute, why is it not at 3 in the afternoon? I think that couldn't have helped. Christine Brennan, who, for full disclosure, is writing a book with and about Caitlin Clark, said that
made sure to point out that the championship game is in the 3 o'clock window the last 3 years for the women's game. And the Caitlin Clark year, 2023, her first year in the Final Four, because she was such a sensation, absolutely turbocharged the ratings. The year prior to Caitlin Clark in 2022, the final game drew a 4.8 million viewer mark. That's pretty good still, but it's not what Caitlin Clark brought. She doubled it. They went from 4.8 to 9.9, doubled, and then doubled again the following year with Caitlin Clark to 18.9 million. It fell back down to 8.5 million without Caitlin Clark and with a bad blowout game. But overall, the women's game is in a very good spot. It's gained traction and a foothold and an acceptance that they have yearned for years. I still don't care to watch it. To me, there's superior alternatives, the men's game, that fill me up just fine, thank you. But it's in a good spot. It doesn't mean, though, that the people in the game itself aren't working hard to fuck it up. Dawn Staley herself said after their loss, a loss in which she was seen not just wearing a $7,500 Louis Vuitton tracksuit. I'm not against tracksuits, but what's wrong with wearing a tracksuit of, say, the South Carolina Gamecocks, of your own team? A $7,000 gaudy-ass Louis Vuitton tracksuit. And she was having tantrums on the sidelines, getting all mad and frustrated because they were losing the game. It's a bad look for a coach, but whatever. Coaches like Dawn Staley and Dan Hurley of UConn, they try to excuse away their bad behavior, talking about their just passion, their will to win. And others in the media will say, well, they do so much for the game and they do things the right way and you can't get on them for being who they are. They're just too hyper-competitive. Bullshit. Be better. Act better. Dawn Staley said the following, I don't know if we can get a new TV deal, but I'd like to open up negotiations for one. A new television deal would be nice. We need our own deal so we can understand what our worth is. Oh, Dawn. Dawn. The ladies' game is in a great spot, and they're on ESPN, and you don't want to mess with that. ESPN pumps women's basketball to the moon. They jam it down our throats. Those of us who don't care for it, don't want to eat it, not going to watch it. You go away from that to find out your true, we need to understand what our worth is. It's worth a lot less is what it's worth anywhere else. Maybe you think you can get a few more bucks from some other outlet, but you'll be losing that prime real estate that is ESPN. We'll see, but obviously the Caitlin Clark effect is real, and it is substantial. That's enough for me today. The car is getting hot. The sun is coming out. It's warm. It's humid. Last day here on vacation. Back to get into the Masters with you guys and geek out for the rest of the week and then on into the weekend. We're going to have live Capital Golf Gang recaps Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night. So make sure to look for those episodes dropping on the Capital Golf Gang podcast vertical, as I call it. If you do not already subscribe to that, my God, Google it. It's my golf product once a week with the boys, John Ronis, John Gould, Buddy Christensen, Chris Johnson, and others. So make sure to put it as part of your listening rotation. Thanks for listening. Signing off from the Turo rental car outside my condo in Naples. Thanks for listening. Have a great Tuesday and Wednesday, and I will see you Thursday.
This weekend.
weekend only at Macy's. It's our lowest prices of spring. How low? Diamond rings, pendants, and earrings, only $399, originally $1,500. Ninja blenders, now $89.99. And $395 men's designer suits, only $99.99. So if you're wondering why you should shop Macy's lowest prices sale, well, the name pretty much says it all. It's our lowest prices for one weekend only. Starts tomorrow at Macy's. Savings off already reduced prices. Exclusions apply.
Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.